Isaiah chapter 9, please. Familiar portion of scripture. Just want to read one verse. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us is born a son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, I should have said that Wonderful Counselor together, because that's just a phrase about our Savior. But as we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. I pray now, Lord, as we look into your word, give us wisdom to know and to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is, He's Wonderful. Jesus. Matthew 21, verse 9 says that, and this was Holy Week in Matthew, Jesus came into the city sitting on a donkey, and the people said, Hosanna, blessed to the Son of David. Did they do that because they thought he was their Savior? And unfortunately, the answer was no. They thought that Jesus was coming to take over and get rid of the Roman government. Because later on in that week, the same people in Matthew 27:22 said, crucify him. And did they do that because he was a criminal? No. He was neither their Savior, nor was he a criminal. But Jesus came to be born to die. Few people recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as did Isaiah. He said, again in that verse, he is wonderful. Another term that might be used for that is the fact that kids nowadays say, they don't say cool, but I still say cool. Awesome, I'm not sure what else the kids are saying at this time of their lives, but a great play is made by a basketball player, or a great song or something, and they say awesome or great and wonderful. Unfortunately, very few, if any, can fit into that category that Isaiah said for Jesus, that he is wonderful or awesome. What did Jesus do? If anyone desires that name of wonderful, it's Jesus. We're going to take a look at a few of his characteristics. Before we do that, though, I want you to pay attention to a phrase. I'm not sure where it came from. Someone has observed, in Christ, we have a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, and a spiritual resource that can never be exhausted. In Jesus, we find that the term wonderful really does apply to him. So we're going to look at a few things that why Isaiah called him wonderful. First of all, in his deity, Matthew chapter 3, you know anything about my preaching, we usually jump around with the Bibles a little bit. Matthew chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, and it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. First of all, Jesus is wonderful in his deity. No one else in history or in a Bible, in our Bible, can claim to be deity. He is my beloved son. And God made sure that, I'm not sure who heard it, but I know that Matthew, in his writing, stated it, that he is the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit came to rest upon him. And so Jesus, being the third part of the Trinity, it gave that confirmation that God the Father, God the Son, and Jesus were there. He's wonderful because he is deity. Next, in his selfless love, which led him from the realms of glory to this cursed earth. Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2 in verse 11. Luke chapter 2 in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He came to this sin-cursed earth, didn't need to, but he did anyway. So in his selfless love, which led him to the realms, from the realms of glory, to a sinless, cursed earth. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's wonderful in his selfless love. And then next, by the way, the lines in the bulletin, if you get a chance, if you copy down those verses and go back later on and just look them over and get a glimpse of why Jesus is so wonderful. And then next, he's wonderful in his virgin birth. Luke chapter 1, just back a little bit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke 1 and 35. We'll go back 34 too. Now, put this in perspective. Here's Mary. She's a young teenage girl. The other night at our son's, we got to watch Nativity. Of course, they always take a little bit of license when they display things, but it was a good explanation for Mary and Joseph and what she went through. But here's a young girl, a young teenager who was running around being giddy with her friends, all of a sudden, this angel appears to her. So put that in perspective. That's an interesting thought. So, in Luke 1, 34 and 35, and it says, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her and just added to her confusion and her overwhelmed nature. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So, Jesus is wonderful in his birth. As I said, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and he is to be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And then next, in his overcoming, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 55 through 57. Paul writes, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. That's what we deserve for our sins, to die and to go to hell. And the power of sin is the law. So the law reinforces what we already know, that we're sinners and we're in need of a Savior. But I love this word in the Bible. It happens many times. Verse 57. But, thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the fourth thing is in his overcoming, he took upon him the form of a servant, was obedient unto death, and we have that opportunity to know him as our Savior. So, he overcame the power of sin and the overpower of death. Now, we do face death, but the death we face is earthly death, not eternal death. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're overcoming is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then next, he's wonderful in his sinless life of service. Luke chapter 19, back to the gospel accounts again. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. Jesus talking with Zacharias, not with Zacharias. Behold, the Lord, half the goods I give, as he was talking with Zacharias, I restore fourfold. And Jesus says in verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And so, in his sinless life of service, Jesus came. He came to be servant to all, not to a few, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And so he is servant to all. He's wonderful in his teachings. Matthew, back a little bit more. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. The Word of God says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now understand that that's not a maybe or a kind of, that's a definite in scriptures. That is, I will give you eternal rest. And we have that eternal rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. An eternal guarantee given by the Son of God, that we would have the blessings of knowing that his work and his teachings are forever set. And then next, he's wonderful in his vicarious death. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. John, the beloved of the Lord, wrote this in his letter. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the debt payer, if you want to look at what propitiation stands for. He is the debt payer for all our sins. I was thinking of this morning as I was reviewing, and it came to me, some of you know I work up at Walmart. I do that part-time to preserve my wife's sanity. And so one day, and then every so often we get called up front so to help run register. Yeah, they do have more than two people up front at times. And but I got called up front. It was just a couple weeks before Christmas, as I remember this. And this couple came. Oh, in fact, it was the beginning of the month. I won't go any farther than that. But they had this cart. I don't know. They had to stick a foot in it to get everything that was in that cart, I guess. But the cart was overflowing. And they had this, all kinds of stuff. And they're running that sucker through. And I got to the end of it, and the gentleman had a card given to him by someone, and we scanned that. And then he took his debit card, I guess, and he scanned, and it came up, And I hate those. I hate those with a passion. Lord, please. Send me back. So he scanned it again. Because sometimes you can stand a card three times and then you have to do the old-fashioned way with the back edge. I scanned it again. And then I got one of the ladies who was in charge up front because I'm not up there enough to know these things. She came forward, took the guy's card, ran it through, and she said, there's a balance of $42. And the guy didn't have the $42 to pay for the rest of the... And then his wife said, well, how about we just take it all off? And I'm thinking, oh, no. It's in bags. It's in the cart. It's ready to go. And an astounding thing happened. Couple about 40 years old, I would guess, in that range, maybe a little younger. She says, and of course, we're all standing there for the longest time, and you hear crickets. I mean, that's how quiet it got. He said, you know, what we're going to do. And of course, the lady who's is in charge of the registers, you know, nothing I can do, you know. So they stood there for a few seconds, and neither one of the couple looked anywhere, but they were looking at me, and of course, they were looking at the top of my head because I had my head down too. An amazing thing happened. This lady said, how much do they owe? She said, $42. I said, $42. And she said, I'll pay for it. And I was like, whoa. It may not seem like a lot of money to this lady, as she said, the $42, but to this couple, they learned an interesting lesson that day. But that lady didn't even flinch. She said, I'll pay for it. So she took her card, swiped it, paid the remainder of the $42 that they owed. And of course, the couple was thrilled and thanked her. And I thanked her several times too, so I could get moving on here. So it was unbelievable. I don't know if you've ever had anybody pay for something, that you didn't deserve to get or didn't. You think about it. Here's Jesus paying with his life for our sins. He took our penalty. He was our substitute. So he's wonderful in his vicarious death. And then next, he's wonderful in his astounding resurrection. Matthew chapter 28. I always, when I see this verse, and it usually gets preached at Easter time, I am amazed by our God. So in his astounding resurrection, Matthew chapter 28 and verse, I'm going to start in verse 5. But the angel said unto the women, of course you understand that, the women had come to anoint the body of Jesus, as was custom, and of course they weren't thinking, because there's supposed to be two Roman guards there at least, if not more. A large stone was put in front of the tomb, which would mean that the stone was kind of round, and it would have been dropped into a hole so it would keep away thieves if anything was put in the burial tomb of the person. So, verse 5, but the angel said unto the woman, be not afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. I mean, just matter of fact. I can't imagine what those ladies went through when they saw this angel tell them about Jesus. He's not here. He rose. Just like he said he was going to. So, what an astounding resurrection. Now, no one else has ever survived raising from the dead. I know you're going to say, well, there was, you go back to some of the people that Zacchaeus, he fell out of a tree. No, we won't get into that thing. But here's people that were raised from the dead. Jesus did that several times in his public ministry. But it never goes on later on to say the fact that they all died. And they did. Lazarus, the child of the widowed woman, and different places where Jesus took their and brought them back. But they all died. Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he rose eternally. And it's great to know that in his astounding resurrection, he is wonderful. And then finally, in his ascended glory. Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. This is the account written by Paul of the stoning of Stephen. And if you know the thing, Stephen was one of the early deacons in the church. He was been arrested. And Paul, of course, at this point, was still Saul. He was willing to see Stephen die for what had happened, for what he had said. Because it says in verse 7, chapter verse 56, if I'm on the right page. Now let's go back to verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. I don't know if you've ever heard people grind their teeth, but a bunch of them grinding their teeth, that must have been interesting. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And I've heard different preachers preach different things about this. Jesus standing to welcoming Stephen in to heaven. Remember, the right hand of God is the place of authority. And here's Jesus standing and beckoning Stephen home. Not sure if that's what happens when our loved ones pass and they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, and if they know that for sure. If Jesus stands waiting for them, I do not know. But behold, to see the fact that Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father waiting for Stephen, that's a place of importance. Then again, let's go back to someone has said, if you would, I'm not sure if you caught it all in the first time, but in Christ, we have a love that can never be fathomed. A life that can never die. If we know Christ as our Savior, our life is in Him and not in ourselves. A peace that can never be understood. A rest that can never be disturbed. A joy that can never be diminished. A hope that can never be disappointed. A glory that can never be clouded. A light that can never be darkened, and a spiritual resource that can never be exhausted. Is he wonderful or what? If your life here is in his love, your life will be full of wonder, and a life thereafter will be bliss. Now, he's not promised that we'll go through this earthly journey free of grief. Now, each one of you could raise your hand and say, yeah, I've been there, done that, had this problem, been that problem. But the fact is, you have a life hereafter that will be full of bliss. My question again to you this morning is he wonderful or not? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to take a moment, and if you're saved and you know Christ as your Savior, thank him. Maybe you thanked him this morning. I don't know. Maybe you thanked him to start out this day, that he gave you another day to serve. If not, take a moment to do that right now. And for those of you who know not Christ as Savior, maybe you're visiting. I don't know. I don't know everyone's heart, and I'm glad I don't. That's Jesus' job. So what I'd want you to do is, if you'd like to talk to someone, Pastor James is here. I'd be glad to talk with you. and share with you how you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God. Jesus paid the price. He's wonderful. And we need to thank him for it. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, God, for these folks. Bless us now, Lord, as we go ahead. Look forward to what next year has for us. We head into another decade. We pray, Lord, you just guide and direct in our lives. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.